This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Delta, official airline of the BYU men's basketball team. Here's your host, Cleon Wall.
Welcome into Cougar Postgame Live, presented by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. BYU beats TCU 87-75. What a difference a half makes. This game reminded me of BYU's game at Texas Tech. BYU had that 16-point lead at the half, gave it all back. Once the Red Raiders had it going, you just had this feeling BYU wasn't going to be able to stop Texas Tech in that game. And in reality, the same thing tonight. Once BYU got on a run, TCU was in trouble. What I liked and didn't like from this game, let's just focus on the second half. The hustle to get back in this game, it was funny. I thought it wasn't going to happen after the initial 5-0 run to start the second half. Then TCU stretched the lead back out to 16, but BYU goes on a 15-0 run. Just impressive. I said BYU was going to need to hustle a lot more in the second half. They did that more. Richie Saunders doing Richie Saunders things, just being the Energizer Bunny, hitting a three-pointer to give BYU their first lead of the second half. Then there's Trevin Nell finding a shooting touch, 20 points in this game. Foose! Traore was the guy who started BYU on that 15-0 run. He also had an alley-oop dunk, moved near the end of the game, put them up by 12, ends up with 21 points in this game. You know, hitting big shots and big free throws when TCU looked like they might make a push near the end of the game with under 4 minutes left in the game. Spencer Johnson made a couple of free throws. That gave BYU a double-digit lead again. Then the alley-oop to Foose that we already talked about. And then Dallin Hall's three to give BYU a 13-point lead. I also really liked TCU's fast break offense. I'm a fan. I like what they do. I love that this team just runs it up the court. I like that they can score in transition at any time, whether the opposing team scores a basket or not. Big fan of this team. Big fan of this team. I was a big fan of the Lakers of the 1980s. Love fast break basketball. So when teams do that, I like watching it. I could say the same for BYU. When they run it up the court, I like that too. There wasn't much I didn't like about this game. The first half I didn't like. We'll just go with that. BYU now tied with Kansas and Texas Tech for fourth place in the Big 12. Iowa State is in second place, and Baylor is in third place. Fans, remember when the Cougars win, you win with Papa John's Pizza. Use the online promo code BYU50 on the app or at papajohns.com Monday and receive 50% off pizza. This offer is good at any Utah location Monday only. Coming up next, one shot keeps Houston at the top of the Big 12. Your final score tonight, BYU erases a 17-point halftime deficit to beat TCU 87-75. More Cougar Postgame Live comes your way next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Here's Cleon Wall with more Big O Tires Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to Cougar Postgame Live, presented by Big O Tires. Cougars score 58 points in the second half to beat TCU 87-75. The BYU women's basketball team, not as good luck as BYU here at home. They lose at Texas 71-46. Lauren Gustin, 20 points and 15 rebounds in the loss. Big 12 men's scoreboard. Number one ranked Houston beats Oklahoma 87-85. They won it on a Jamal Shedd basket with 0.4 seconds left in the game. He actually shot another shot that could have been the game winner, but it kind of got blocked, and then there was a scramble on the floor, and he ended up with it again and hit about a 10-foot jump shot to beat Oklahoma 87-85. By the way, that game was in Norman, Oklahoma. 15th-ranked Baylor beat 7th-ranked Kansas 82-74. Iowa State, 8th-ranked team in the nation, they beat UCF 60-52. That is BYU's next opponent, the Iowa State Cyclones. That game will tip off at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, and you can listen to it right here on the BYU Radio Sports Network. Texas beats Oklahoma State 81-65. Texas Tech beats West Virginia 81-70. And Cincinnati holds on to beat Kansas State at home 74-72. If we look at the Big 12 standings right now, Houston is all alone at the top at 13-3. Iowa State is 12-4, one game behind them. Baylor is three games behind at 10-6. And then you have three teams tied for fourth place, Texas Tech, BYU, and the University of Kansas. Texas and TCU are one game in back of those guys at 8-8. Top 25 action, only one game going on right now, and it's a WCC blast from the past. The top two teams in the West Coast Conference, 17th-ranked St. Mary's hosting 23rd-ranked Gonzaga, and right now the Zags have a 53-38 lead over the Gales, 13:53 left to go in that game being played in Moraga, California. 18th-ranked South Carolina takes down 24th-ranked Florida, 82-76. Wisconsin, they had a chance to take down 13th-ranked Illinois at home, but they don't. The Illini win 91-83. Kentucky, 16th-ranked team in the nation, scores 111 points to beat Arkansas, 111-102. Listen, if you like offense, I think you would have liked that game. Arizona also scores in triple digits. The sixth-ranked Wildcats beat Oregon at home 103-83. Caleb Love, 22 points and 7 assists for Arizona in that game. 12th-ranked Creighton beats 5th-ranked Marquette 89-75 in Big East action. NC State, a team BYU beat earlier this year, they go on the road and they lose at 9th-ranked North Carolina 79-70. 11th-ranked Auburn, they win tonight, or today I should say, 78-63 over Mississippi State. 25th-ranked South Florida, they'll probably remain in the top 25. They pick up a win over Charlotte in Charlotte 76-61. Virginia goes on the road to take on 10th-ranked Duke. And the Blue Devils, no problems with the Cavaliers in this game. They win 73-48. 19th-ranked Washington State. What a year for the Cougars. What a year for the Cougars, you know, just like Cougars in general in college basketball. But the Washington State Cougars, they beat UCLA 77-65. They are currently, I believe, in second place in the Pac-12 standing. So, bravo, Cougars. Second-ranked team in the nation, Purdue, they beat Michigan State 80-72 this day. And then fourth-ranked Tennessee goes on the road and picks up a win 81-72 at 14th-ranked Alabama. They outscored the Crimson Tide by 9 in the second half to pick up the victory in that game. University of Utah, they hosted California tonight. They beat Cal 88-59. USC beats Washington 82-75 in Pac-12 play. Weber State, they host Northern Arizona tonight, and they win 85-58 over the Lumberjacks. WAC action, Southern Utah hosting Tarleton State, and unfortunately for the T-Birds, they come out on the losing end in this game, 88-83. Also, Utah Valley loses at home. Both those games, by the way, Southern Utah was at home, and they lost to Tarleton State. They only have 9 victories on the year. Utah Valley had a chance to go over 500 overall and 2 games over 500 in the WAC Conference, but they lose to UT Arlington 78-65 at home. The Utah Jazz, they also lose today 126-120 to the Miami Heat in Miami. Young guys in action in this game. Keontae George had 31 points in the loss. He also had 4 assists. Colin Sexton had 18 points in this game. Laurie Markkanen 25 points in the game. And John Collins had 18 points in the loss. LeBron James becomes the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 career points. He did it pretty early in their game against the Nuggets. Unfortunately for the Lakers, they lose at home to the Nuggets 124-114. LeBron had 26 points, 9 assists, and 3 steals in the game. Nikola Jokic, 35 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists in the win. The Atlanta Hawks, they go on the road to Brooklyn, but they lose 114-102. One game actually going on right now, the Houston Rockets playing at the Phoenix Suns. And right now the Rockets have a 111-102 lead over the Suns. There's 4:22 left in that game. Only one other NBA game on the night. The Portland Trailblazers go on the road, and they pick up a victory in overtime over the Memphis Grizzlies, 107-100. Anthony Simons, 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists in that game. Again, BYU beats TCU tonight, 87-75. It was an amazing comeback. They were down 17 points at the half. BYU went on a 5-0 run early in the second half, and then TCU decided to stretch it back out and made it a 16-point game, and then BYU goes on a 15-0 run, and they complete the comeback. It was really an amazing game. And what Greg and Mark said about Fuseni Traore being the MVP of this game, yeah, give it up to him. You almost want to kind of give it to Fuse, because he was the guy that started that second comeback, and he was so solid, and TCU really could not stop him in the low post at all. And so props to him. He really does deserve MVP honors in this game. Also, you have to give it up to Trevin Nell. He shot so well in that second half and really was kind of the catalyst to bring BYU back in that game. He ends up with 20 points, 7 for 13 from the field, 4 for 10 from the three-point line. I think the thing that impressed me most about Trevin Nell in this game was that when he was not able to score from the outside, he took it to the basket, and he was able to get his points there. All right, that's going to do it for Cougar Post Game Live. After the break, we'll send you back to the Marriott Center for more Cougar Post Game Live. At least my edition of Cougar Post Game Live is done. Greg and Mark, they're going to have Trevin Nell coming up next. Cougars are victorious, 87-75 over the Horned Frogs on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Here's Greg Wrubell with more Big O' Tires Cougar Post Game Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, Greg Wrubell, Mark Durant visiting with you courtside for Big O' Tires Cougar Post Game Live. BYU 87 and TCU 75 is our final score. Happy to be joined on the headset courtside by Trevin Nell. Trevin, part of the big comeback for the comeback Cougs, who go from down 17 to winning by a dozen. Trevin, congratulations to you and the boys on a monumental win to cap a monumental week.
Exactly. It's a huge week for us. We played with a little bit more of an edge because just about, you know, how the AP voters kind of took us out of the top 25. People picked us to finish 13th in the league. And so we haven't forgotten anything. Like, we keep our receipts, and so we just keep playing with this edge, and it's super fun to be able to play with the guys that no matter what, if we're down 17, if we're down 20, if we're down 5, if we're up 20, like, we got to keep that momentum going forward. So I think we've learned a lot in this league, and we're continuing to learn more each and every day.
So after trailing by 12 in Lawrence and coming back to win at Allen Fieldhouse, well, how do you top that? Well, maybe you top that by coming up with the biggest comeback in the Mark Pope era, because you were down 17 and no BYU team had ever come back from down 17 to win a game since Coach Pope's been the head coach. So that's one way you can try and top an amazing night, by doing what you did here in the second half tonight.
100%. Coach, I feel like we've all learned a ton. Even Coach Pope, he, instead of coming in and just getting super mad at us, he actually came in super calm, cool, and collected.
At halftime?
Told us what we needed to do, and then said, everybody move the chairs. I don't know if he wants me to tell you guys this, but he said, everybody move the chairs, and we started almost like chest bumping everybody. So he's like, I want everybody to start like kind of hitting everybody to make sure we're here.
Get hyped? Like,
yes, because he didn't want us to leave this game without TCU feeling that we didn't show up. And I feel like coming out of the half, we had a great talk, us five starters, and we just said, hey, no matter what happens, like, this 4 minutes is ours. And I think it really showed this game.
Well, that was fantastic, and what a great game from you. And everyone knows what you can do, and you came through tonight in a big way. But I'm just curious. I mean, you talk about getting ready for the second half, but was there anything kind of schematically or strategy-wise that was different, or was it just a matter of getting the momentum back on your side?
Well, I mean, when a team starts out shooting 70% from three, you know, and they this team, credit to them, they're super fast. It's probably one of the fastest teams we played all season in terms of transition. They're really skilled, really well coached. But what I even came to a ref. I said, they have to slow down. Like, the altitude's got to get to them eventually. And so just credit to our coaches. Our scout was great. Coach Kill had a great scout today. And he got us hyped up before the game. And so it was really fun. And it's just like this win just shows how hard it is to, A, win in the Big 12. And it just helps us to know, hey, we know what it takes to win. Like, we understand what we need to do. And if we abide by those principles, we keep the standard, then we're hopeful, and we're hope that the favorable, you know, weigh our side.
Well, you guys as players made the shots and made the plays that brought you back from down 17. But you got to give a little bit of an assist to the crowd tonight, don't you? Sold-out crowd here at the Marriott Center.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I almost forgot about the Rock, the Cougar Nation. As soon as I hit that first one, I looked and I said, it's on, to the people on the sideline. And I started waving my hand up to get the crowd going. Yeah. And so credit to them. They really helped us big. It's hard to win the Marriott Center. Like, I want to say it over and over again. I love Jay Billis. Kansas was great, but I still think the Marriott Center is special. Like, it's hard to win here, and it's super fun to be able to play in front of a crowd like this that's so energetic and so into the game with us.
Okay, you didn't make a three in the first half, and then you banged four after halftime. How hungry were you for that first look in the second half just to get rolling?
Oh, my gosh. My shot felt so good in the first half, too. I was like, they're all long. They're all right there. It's just like an inch long. Credit to my teammates. Credit to, you know, the GAs and the coaching staff. They all just kept saying, hey, your balance is great. Just keep shooting. Keep being hungry. And so my whole mentality is not to, you know, weigh on the misses. It's just to dab on my team. Hey, great, great pass, great screen. So I'm trying to change my mindset going forward in the next couple games to just, you know, have those social cues of being like, hey, great screen, great pass. And when I do that, it helps me just stay focused, stay loose. And, you know, when you have a point guard like Dallin Hall that is just – huge for us. There's something that came out too. I think it was Andy Katz. I want to call him out. He brought up the top sophomores in the country, and they have Dallin on there. And I think it's a load of crap. Honestly, I think Dallin is one of the best sophomores in the country. He's really well skilled. He helps us so much in the game. I actually got mad at Coach for saying, I said, keep Dallin in the game. I don't care how tired he gets. And then credit to freaking Richie. That man, no matter what happens, we all know he's going to give 1,010%, and it's super fun to play with, you know, guys like that.
Bit about Dallin Hall. He goes 12-6-7 tonight, points, rebounds, and assists. The 6 rebounds tie a career high for him.
Hey, Dal.
And how about this? Over his last 4 games, 25 assists, 5 turnovers. He was 7-1 tonight.
It's unbelievable. Like, seriously, when I came, I sprinted down the corner, and I was like, I might be open. And then all of a sudden, he whipped it, shot fake, and threw it. I was like, how the crap did you get that to me? And then he started boxing out his own guy. I was like, oh, the fact, like, how hard he plays, and we all trust him so much. I feel like he's learned so much this year, too. He's a true point guard for us, and I, like, seriously, I would go to war with that man. I think he's the best sophomore in the country, so you can quote me on that.
Trev Ali-Khalifa played well tonight. It was magic, at least early, with 5 assists. He does doing what he does, but Pusini Traore comes in and just has a monster game.
Ooh.
How nice is it, and how important is it that, you know, depending on matchups and the flow of the game, that you have two such great weapons to come into the game and help you guys?
I mean, well, we started hot with Ali. Well, he had a couple back doors, and I was like, there's one way he threw it to me. I was like, how did you fit that in? And then so it's super cool to have a dynamic with those two bigs, to be able to cut really hard and then to be able to just feed Foose and just let him go to work. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure everybody saw his dunk, the alley-oop dunk.
Yes.
We were all surprised on the bench. We haven't seen that in a while.
But I think he was calling for it from Rich.
He was.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, he's probably going to lay it in. Like, that's what he usually does. He's kind of like, But it was super fun to see how, you know, confident he is in his hamstrings and everything. So I feel like we're finally a really, really healthy team. And it's going to be really exciting going forward.
Yeah, I kind of felt like when – like, that was the moment. Like, that's when it's like, okay, they're gonna win this game. Like, that was like the – kind of like the capper to me. Even there was still some time left. There was like 3.5 minutes. But when he dunked it, I thought, you know what,
over.
This is the night.
We're all going crazy. Yeah, credit to Foose. He's battled a ton of adversity this year. And to be able to, you know, come back and have that confidence and just be that huge lift for us is huge.
What is it about Jackson Robinson and the moment? Because he scores 9, so his line's what it is. 9 points, that's great. 3 for 9. The 1 3 he makes, though,
is
come
huge.
On.
Huge.
Like, he fixed, like, 1 3 every night to be just, like,
it's
the just shot,
it's
right?
Exactly. Every time I'm like, this is going to be on, you know, Greg and Mark's coach call of the day. Jack's, like, credit to him. He's always the hardest worker. He really pushes us to be better. Like, in the Kansas game, a lot of people don't know this, but he was, like, the first one to bring us five together, said, hey, we need to have a good start. Like, we need to have a good start. You guys need to come out with a little edge, and then we'll bring energy on the bench. And so to have a guy that, you know, is going to be the sixth man of the year, he better be in the Big 12. He's on a lot of draft boards right now. And to be able to come off the bench and provide that energy with us is huge. Just like Dallin, I'll go to war with Jax. He is something special, and I'm super excited to be able to have him on my team instead of guarding him.
Trev, you've actually seen Iowa State before now. I was always the next game, right? And you've seen them before. You handled them nicely here. But going there, Greg and I have been there before. That's a tough place to play. Is this team kind of given this week at a high confidence level-wise going on this important road trip?
And you missed the Iowa State game personally, right?
I did. So yeah. I'm hoping, like, Ali gives me crap. He goes, oh, we won without you, you know. but I was, like, I heard that gym is going to be rocking. I feel like we really proved ourselves at Kansas to be able to play on the road. I think we're starting to fix ourselves when we go on the road. And it's gonna be a battle. Like, nothing's gonna give it to us. We always talk about how we kind of got to go take wins now. And it's gonna be a dogfight from the beginning. So it's gonna be fun. They're second in the conference right now. They're right at the top. They're really, really talented, really well coached. So we're gonna be excited, and it's gonna be a Wednesday game. So we got 2 days to prep.
Before you put on the headset, I showed you the Big 12 standings, and how nice is it to see in that fourth place grouping of teams, the letters BYU.
It's awesome. It is huge. We're banging on the door to be a three seed. And in my amazing quote from Tanner Hayes, they wrote us off, but we didn't write back. So it's going to be awesome. We kind of still have that edge of, you know, people doubting us, but we like to live there.
Well, a team that the coaches picked to finish 13th will finish with at least a 500 record in this league. And if you're 500 in the Big 12, you're a heck of a basketball team. You know that.
it's the best basketball league.
But you're shooting for more than 500. We know that.
100%. We have a chip on our shoulder with the last game of the season as well. If we want to look forward with Oklahoma State, they blasted us at their place. So we kind of had that game circled for a little bit since then. But, again, you know, Iowa State is huge, so we got to focus on them.
Okay, another couple of things, and I'll let you go. First week where you win both the Tuesday and the Saturday game
The
Big 12. And first time you're two games above 500 in the Big 12 as well.
Hey, let's go. Exactly. Like, we're really figuring ourselves out. The confidence is there for everybody. And it's, like, I feel like we're, again, just taking another step forward. So Coach always talks about doing that 1% better. So I feel like we're doing that.
We've taken a lot of your time. There are people that want you, so we'll let you go to them. But it's always a blast chatting with you. And, man, you have a sense of the moment, too. Those threes were massive. And when this comeback effort got –
Yeah, he got it going, man.
He did.
First one was huge.
I hope I can be the call of the day someday.
You can make that happen.
Hope we'll put a word in. I'll tell you, when this place got rocking and the thing got going, you could kind of sense TC was like, uh-oh, what is just what have we unleashed here all of a sudden? It was something else.
Yeah, 100%. Even PB comes up to me and goes, all right, well, I got yelled at, so you're not touching the ball anymore. He's like, you're scoring way too much. Oh, but yeah, for sure.
Well, congrats again to you and the boys. Great stuff. Thank you, Trevin.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll come back with much more as we continue with the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. This has been Big O Tires Cougar Postgame Live. Thanks to Trevin for spending so much time with us. We got much more. We'll hear from the TCU side of things as well. Jamie Dixon and a TCU player spoke with the press a short time ago. And then, of course, Mark Pope will pop on the headset in a little bit. So we'll come back with that. This is BYU basketball. Final score, 87-75. Cougs over the Horned Frogs on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Health.
It's time to hear from BYU head coach Mark Pope. This is the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. The BYU Creamery, the classic taste of BYU ice cream, now also in a convenient pint. The Cougar Postgame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Economics Partners, a national leader in business valuation services. Learn more at econpartners.com. Let's rejoin the voice of the Cougars, Greg Grubel.
Five home wins in a row for the BYU Cougars, 17 consecutive wins over TCU going back a number of years, and two games above 500 in the Big 12 for the first time. Wow, a lot of great things to celebrate tonight as BYU comes back from down 17. It is the biggest comeback win in the Mark Pope era by margin of deficit. 16 versus Dayton in the Bahamas, that was pretty special. Tonight it was 17. at the break, and the Cougs come all the way back and kind of win going away, 87-75 over the TCU Horned Frogs, puts BYU at 9-7 in league, assured of no worse than a 500 record in conference, assured of no worse than a single bye in Kansas City, and the superlatives continue. Coach Pope, congratulations to you and the boys on a remarkable night to cap an outstanding week.
You guys are bored, aren't you?
It's just such
you guys
a.
Just bored.
We just kind of yawn through these games.
If you could do this every week, that'd be awesome.
Oh my gosh! Right, this is just outstandingly fun, isn't it? I mean, it just is everything. It's been great. So now, happy for our guys. They were incredibly tough tonight, and I'm just really happy for them.
Trev wasn't sure that you'd want this out there, but he put it out there, and I think it's okay to share that you wanted your
Trev
team.
Trev always throws me under the bus, man. That's what he does.
It was good. You utilized the space in the locker room to make sure that your guys were physically engaged coming out for half number two.
Yeah, it was you know, we're really exploring, like we're growing together as a group. We're growing together, and we're trying to, like, the right language is complicated sometimes, and sometimes I'm learning a lot as a coach to be more intentional and less reactionary, I think. And so this is one of those games where, you know, we just couldn't come up with any 50-50 balls. We're getting out tough to every play in the first half. You know, I thought we started fine. They made really hard shots. It was a little upside-down game. I mean, they're at the rim team, and we're a three-point shooting team. In the first 10 minutes, you're like, wait, is this like Boxer Day or something, right? And
Groundhog Day? No, not Groundhog Day. Boxing Day.
And it's an old, you know, venerable tradition in Great Britain, right?
Yes.
Yes. And that's a nice little kind of tidbit to throw in there for Cougar Nation.
Canada also celebrates it.
Is that true?
Big hockey games happen on Boxing Day.
I did not know that.
That was always the Flames Oilers game was Boxing Day. So, yeah.
Well, we digress.
You know. We digress.
So, anyway, so we got it. So, at halftime, like, we were really trying to figure out how to message to our guys without just being emotional reactionary. And so, the squad is, you know, they crush me every single day about just be intentional, be intentional, be intentional. And so, our idea about it being intentional was like, let's be really intentional. Let's show guys exactly what this is supposed to feel like and how it's supposed to feel. So we spread out the chairs and we said, we're going to finish like our last thing. So we really focus on what we're doing is we're going to all get a hit because we just weren't hitting. We weren't physical enough. And so we spread out the chairs and then I eyed Foose immediately and went straight for him. And that was my first mistake.
Yes.
You know, two shoulder surgeries later, I'm reevaluating how we do that. But, you know, it's our guys. Like and then we come out of halftime and Trevenel, who was absolutely sensational tonight, does what he does. And we just go, UCLA four wide. And Trev comes off and fearlessly bangs that three. And in that moment, it was like there was this kind of like – it wasn't an exhale. It was like being – the guys got filled just a tiny bit, just almost a little bit of tiny bit of belief. Like, oh, here we are. And then we put together a few stops in there. And the guys were super intentional and specific about what they were focused on in the second half. And that's actually elite-level toughness. It's not like yelling and screaming and punching and frothing at the mouth. It's like laser focus and commitment and trust to your teammates and what you're doing. These guys just put a show on, and I'm so proud of them and so happy for them. And hopefully that's something they'll continue to put in their pocket and believe in more and more.
Coach, there's just so many great performances. I don't know quite where to go, but Foose was terrific, and he's fascinating to watch, right? I mean, you're a big man, you understand, and he's an undersized big man, but I think that almost helps him because he's so strong in the legs and he gets so low. You cannot help but be moved by him, and they can't double because he's a good passer. Yeah. I mean, how terrific was Foose tonight?
Well, you know, Foose makes you pick your poison. He just does. And I get it. Like, if I was playing against this too, I'm not sure what I would do with him because you cannot guard him one-on-one. You just can't. Nobody can guard him one-on-one at the post, especially when he's as patient as he was tonight. You know, two or maybe even three times, he was so patient. He pump fakes, and then he finishes with the rip. And when he finishes with the rip, it's hard, man, because his shoulders are so wide. And so he was unbelievable in the post. And then the beautiful thing about Foose, and this has been a work in progress, you cannot put him in a short roll. Like, if you let Foose Traer play in a short roll, it's over. He just is He's one of the elite bigs in the country at playing out of a short, out of a seam, out of a short roll, and they let him get in, and it's hard because what do you do, right? And so he was absolutely terrific tonight. I thought he had an outstanding second half, and I'm really proud of him, really happy for him.
How about Foose calling for the Oop?
Yeah, and you know what? Richie is super confident. It's one of those moments where guys that, again, another example of, like, you know, our guys, there were so many moments in the second half when we were down a little bit and we were up a little bit where they could have reverted back to being cautious, but they stayed downhill for most of the game. In fact, Ali and Dallin Hall, I was really proud of those guys early in the game, in the beginning of the game. You know, this TCU team forces more turnovers than anybody in our league, I think, or their first or second, and they kind of live off of it. And Dallin, the way he answered the bell from the very tip in terms of saying, hey, I'm going to punish you. If you try and pressure me, I'm going to go by you, and I'm going to get downhill, and I trust myself to be able to put myself in harm's way and make great decisions. And then Ollie was tearing it up early with our guys cutting hard. And then on that play that you mentioned, you know, here's the time where you have a lead and some people want to nurse it, but our guys' mentality was just like, we're confident, we believe, we're not going to second-guess ourselves. Paul. And we're going to get downhill. And that was a great example of Richie and Foose connecting and the way that they do.
Dallin helps you go from underwater at halftime to a positive assist to turnover number. He's 7-1 tonight. And I shared this with Trev. Over his last four games, he's 25-5.
Yeah.
And then he throws a six rebound night out there that ties his career high as well on boards.
Yeah, and 7-1. And I think he was 3-for-5, maybe 3-for-4 from the 3-point line.
3-for-5.
But that 7-1, I'm telling you, 7-1 against this team, guys, like, we are witnessing the development of a young star. And it's I don't know any other way to say that. And his confidence continues to grow. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's almost sneaking up on you where you're going to look at the numbers at the end of the season and be like, this dude's one of the best guards in this league. And it just is – He's just I'm really proud of him. He's carrying a huge load. He's got a huge leadership load. He's you know, taking a beating physicality wise, and he continues to, you know, he continues to get better. Like I said, from the tip, he's had some games where he's facing, you know, just number three is an elite level defensive player, elite level. So as well as four is one of the leading turnover percentage guys in the country, steal percentage guys, and Dallin just refused to get on his heels from the very tip. His keep his dribble live baseline three or four times were just magical possessions. He makes me look like a way smarter coach than I am, I'll tell you that.
Take a break with Coach Mark Pope. Come back with his concluding comments. BYU 87, TCU 75 in a pulsating win here in Provo. Sold out crowd 17,798 to witness a remarkable comeback indeed. We'll come back with more from the coach on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
All right, Greg Wrubell, Mark Durant, and Mark Pope. Let's get to the Economics Partners valuable stat of the game brought to you by Economics Partners. Whether for tax, financial reporting, or strategic purposes, when your business needs a valuation, the right partner is Economics Partners. Learn more at econpartners.com. Kind of a weird place to go for this, Coach Pope, but I'm going to go to four fast break points by TCU after halftime because they had 17 in the first half.
Yeah, and you know, that was, we went from 8 turnovers in the first half to only 3 in the second half, and all 3 were, seemed like they were within a 45-second span. And that's a credit to our guys, and that doesn't just happen because you're trying to take care of the ball. It happens because you stay on your toes downhill. It's a little bit of a contradictory idea, but I'll say again, I thought our guys were really special about staying insistent about playing downhill and trusting their decision making and not second guessing themselves. And it's a good life lessons for our guys because that's actually the way we should always roll.
You end up shooting 32% from threes. It did not seem like that was going to be a possibility early in this game. You were knocking down the threes. And what do you try to do as a coach? Is it simply just keep shooting, guys? I believe in you. Or I mean, is it the type of shots in the first half that they weren't getting? I mean, they were so good, obviously, in the second half. I'm just trying to work my mind around how it could be so different from one half to the other. They were obviously terrific in that second half.
You know, we practice this every single day, and I know we've talked about this at length, but, you know, we do a Bucs drill to start every single practice. Every single practice, regardless of what else is happening, and it's a two-minute drill. And you know, once or twice a week, we will – and our goal is to get to 130, and we average at, like, 165. Like, these guys are really elite shooters. And once or twice a week, we will be at 50 after the first minute. And it's just like nothing's going. It's just a continuous drill. And almost without fail, then we'll drop 95 in the second minute, and guys will make every single shot. And then we'll stop the drill, and we'll say, guys, this is who we are. Like, we'll go through, as an aggressive shooting team, we're going to go through little stretches where we don't make shots. But what is our answer? Our answer is that we keep working really, really hard to earn ourselves great shots, and we keep going. And then we work really, really hard to attack the offensive glass. And we work really, really hard to, you know, do all of our defensive concepts. And so that's a very familiar space for our guys. I don't think any of us blink. We don't even evaluate, really, makes or misses. We do value how hard we're working to earn the shots. We value whether we're finishing the shots. We kind of value the process more than the outcome, because we've just seen it over and over and over again that, you know, when you trust the process, good things will happen in the end. That doesn't mean you're always, you know, we've had nights where we shoot 23%, but they haven't been that often, and we feel like we have enough of bulk work around it where on those nights we can still survive.
You have earned at least a single bye at the conference tournament in Kansas City, and you're in the mix for a double because you're tied for fourth right now in this conference with Texas Tech and Kansas. And how gratifying must it feel to be in that position heading into your final week in the grind of a league that is the Big 12 right now?
I love that, but way more importantly is it, you know, this is all Coach Pitino. You know, he's just you just watch the St. John's team right now. It's incredible. Like, they were at a breaking point. Everyone's like, oh, these guys, it's all going downhill. Coach says some crazy things. But he's always about – he actually doesn't care what happens. He just wants his team playing their best basketball in March. And he's more concerned than record or anything else. He's like, how are we feeling as a team? And we are feeling – like we're feeling like we're learning very important lessons in a positive way as a team right now. I feel like our guys are understanding focus a little bit better, understanding toughness a little bit better, believing in each other a little bit better, understanding what it means to trust themselves and their team with their defensive assignments. So if we can keep trending in that direction, which is our goal, then we have we're on a trajectory right now to be playing our best basketball in March. And that's what we care about. That's how you work through a season. And so I'm really excited about how we feel. Even more than the record, I'm excited about how we feel.
Coach, it's been a long time since I've felt so enamored by a player as I do about Richie Saunders. Mm. I mean, he plays with a ferocity and a freedom and a fury and all the other – not all the F words, but
all the good F words.
I mean, all the good F words.
All the legal ones. The legal F words are all in.
I'd love the guy. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to tell a kid how to play, I say watch that guy. Yeah. And he was terrific for you tonight.
He was great. Interestingly enough, I thought in the second half he was so incredibly defensive assignment sound with a very hard guard, meaning he had a very hard assignment. He was rotating between guarding a three and a four, between guard number two, who's so lethal, he's their leading scorer, and then going to guard a perimeter player with a monster intact, where he always had to be alert about an extra rotation.
When you say monster, you mean a double team?
Team in the post, and we were committed to it all night. Even though they didn't really go into the post, we stayed committed to it, and so that makes rotations really challenging. And I thought Richie was brilliant there. I thought his toughest plays really made a difference for us. I thought he was great on the glass, both offensively and defensively, and his downhill nature was brilliant. If you're going to grade out the things you would look for in a great athlete, a great player, a great teammate, what we grade out a lot is we grade out motor, and Richie Saunders has the most reliable high octane motor I don't know, guys. It might be close to any player I've ever coached. And because of that, he's growing in leaps and bounds. It's really inspiring to watch how he's growing. Because he's taking that motor and he's dialing it down just enough so he can be really intentional and functional and focused on the court. And he's incorporating all of his skill sets and understanding now, and he's just growing. Like, he's growing in ways that you don't actually see. You don't even see in this box score, and he's got good numbers, but he's growing so much more than even this box score says. And I agree with you, Mark. Like, how can you not love the grit and toughness and, like, the nonstop motor of Richie Saunders? He is a perfect teammate and a force to be reckoned with. And again, he's just, he's two-thirds of the way through his sophomore year. He's still a baby. So great things ahead for that young man.
Fifth consecutive home win for BYU in this league, and 17,798, a second consecutive sellout. Yeah. And by the way, on a blizzard night in this area, most everybody made it into their seats of those 17,798 tonight. What a crowd.
You know, it's interesting. I was on the Peloton this morning. I'm going to date myself. This is what old people do to exercise. And I was watching this documentary on the Buffalo Bills and about their great AFC Championship game in the third year of the Super Bowl, where they got down so big that all the Bills fans left. And then in the second half, Frank Reich, the backup quarterback, led this incredible thing. And all the Buffalo Bills fans are driving homeless on the road. They all turned around and came back home. And I think the stadium seats 80,000, but they actually had 160,000 people attend the game because they all left and re-entered. Cougar Nation did not leave tonight. And we're grateful because we couldn't have done this without them. I mean, the gym was unbelievable. And as soon as our guys gave them a little bit of life to cheer, man, they took over. And this is a team effort. I hope that our fans, the Cougar Nation, feels it. This is a team effort. We're 5-0 at home in our last five games in the toughest league in the country, in large part due to this incredible arena and these incredible fans. And I'm just grateful because it's magical to play in this gym. And I know I'm grateful to TCU guys too, because they get to go home and be like, what just happened in the second half? Like, you couldn't hear anything, people going crazy, and it's pretty brilliant.
So you get an extra day of prep because you get your first and only Wednesday game as you go to Iowa State Wednesday night before you come back on the weekend, and you get tomorrow, which you think is a pretty important day for your team. Yeah. You get to spend at home. But what a remarkable week, how do you cap a win at Allen Fieldhouse? Well, maybe you do it by coming up with your biggest ever comeback since you've been the head coach here, which is what you did tonight. Either way, a really special week. Your first Tuesday-Saturday win week, by the way, the Big 12 as well, when you go win on the Tuesday and the Saturday. So a lot of great things happened tonight. And like you said, the most important thing is how you feel your guys are playing, and they're in a really good spot right now.
It's interesting. It's become from the guys. We've never said it as staff, but it's come up several times now. It did post-game in our post-game huddle in the locker room. We have some guys that are salty about getting dropped from the top 25 in a week where we beat Baylor and lost the game on the road. And so, I don't know. It's not always like this. We know that. And but I hope we can all just be in the moment, because this is pretty awesome. The ride that these players are taking all of us on is really fun. And the fact that we get to witness them growing before our eyes is super inspiring. And let's keep going.
Yeah. Who knows what we'll be talking about on April 2nd, but on March 2nd, it's already been such a special year and ride with your guys.
Let's hope we're still talking on April 2nd. That's our goal. Let's keep talking.
Still have a headset
on
you on April 2nd.
Baby.
All right. Coach, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I'll come back and wrap it up with Mark, or maybe without Mark. Mark, can you stick around?
I'll stick around. Yeah.
Okay. We'll wrap it up after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Marriott Center, courtside, Greg Wrubell and Mark Durant with you. A short time ago, Jamie Dixon spoke to the press, and I want to get a few of his comments, and let's just see what he had to say.
said he's coming.
What's that?
Ian said he's coming to the game.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah.
Well, they're
he was ice fishing
going through some preamble, I think, there. But I wanted to hear from Jamie Dixon. I think we've got it fired up. Let's see what he had to say here. There we go. Jamie Dixon.
Well, obviously, we're disappointed by the second half and what we did. But, you know, we kind of tried to get the message across off first half, especially the end of the half. You know, we got away with some. They missed some threes. They missed some free throws. And we knew that they weren't going to shoot that in the second half. And so I thought our shot selection in the second half really fueled their offense. And so we were really disappointed by the second half performance. And at the same time, I don't know that our defense was that good in the first half. Open shots, free throws, we fouled too much. We were bonus from the get-go. Same thing in the second half. And you know, they killed us from the line, and certainly the rebounding turned in the second half. So we knew we couldn't win unless we had the out-rebound in the second half. We got out-rebounded by 9. But, you know, they hurt us inside. As we talked about, and give them credit for responding. You know, they came back from a big deficit, and they responded. We didn't, so... pretty disappointed in our performance. Yeah, really throughout. I mean, I don't think that we played great in that first half either. So it was, the ball movement was better. We got a transition opportunities, and that we converted at a higher rate today than we had in the last game. And obviously, that's what we do well. But you know, we simply our defense was non-existent. I thought for the entire game.
What was the decision to call your last timeout with 7 minutes and 42 seconds?
I would have called more. I mean, what? I mean, yeah, that was we called it.
Is there a chance for the players to maybe overlook some of those deficiencies you're talking about first half with a 17-point lead?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, you know, you try to get the message across, and it wasn't working. I thought there was some. To be honest, we should have had a bigger lead, but we had made some bad decisions offensively at the end of the half and took some bad shots. So that was kind of leading into what we talked about at halftime, and talked about. There's no way they're going 1-for-13 from three. I doubt they're going to shoot the free throws like they did as well, and it just caught up. And then we were in, fouled first 5 plays. I mean, we were in there. That was not a good start for us. We got to be better. I mean, the game got away from us, and we didn't respond with the way you have to respond, getting some stops. I think we said that 17 of the last 20 possessions they scored, so... nothing seemed to be working, but the thing obviously got away from us. I mean, unique game to have a 16-17 point lead, and then really it turned quickly. I mean, it wasn't like it was short. It wasn't like a grind it out. It turned pretty quickly those first 10 minutes. So I guess I guess you're asking about the timeouts. I mean, I don't know. The run was pretty substantial. I don't know if it saved them for when it gets to be more. But, we give them credit. They responded from a poor shooting game in the first half. But I think we helped a lot.
Your thoughts on the environment here today?
What's that?
Thoughts on the environment.
I mean, it's Saturday night. It's Big 12. I mean, every game's packed. I mean, it's what it is. It's gonna grab. It's been a while since I've been here, but been here before. My seats look different, it's great. It's a good place to play. They helped them, and they did the things they wanted. They got to the foul line more. They got to the. We have to get to the foul line more. We didn't, and turnovers were low. But our defense was again. I'm not giving our defense great credit in even the first half. So, that's. I think I'm being realistic by that. So, we've got to be better. We got to handle. We play with a lot of freedom, and it hurts us at times. And today was one of those times.
Jamie,
especially in the second half and the end of the first half. So we got to do a better job. We got to be able to get a stop to stop a run. You know, you can call timeouts. You can get media timeouts, but you got to come out of the timeout and get a stop. And we didn't do that. They went and they pounded us inside. I mean, we didn't do anything we wanted to do to defensively in the post. And but that's a pattern. We just haven't gone against a lot of guys that score, and got away with it in the first half, and they caught up to us in the second half.
Any last question for you? Okay, thank you.
All right, there it is. Jamie Dixon, head coach of the TCU Horned Frogs, as BYU comes back from down 17 to defeat TCU 87-75. Mark, remember that game at Texas Tech? Remember what the lead was for BYU in that game at its largest?
17. 17.
Cougars got that one back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's the way it goes. You know, you win some and you lose some.
What a night. What a night and what a week, right? I mean, it's so funny. You know, you're still two games away from ending the regular season, and yet you can already look back on this and just have so many gratifying memories and thoughts about this team already. Yeah, there's who knows what's going to come over the next month. But already it's been a special season. In this first season of a Big 12 membership. And so, you know, like Coach said at the end there, you know, it's been a great ride, and we've been just fortunate to be along for the ride at this point. And we hope, you know, even bigger and better days are ahead in the next month to come. But regardless of what comes ahead, it's already been night after special night for this BYU basketball team. And this week kind of is as special as they get, with the win at Allen Fieldhouse and the comeback tonight and a sold-out crowd and all that it does for BYU. Just a we're privileged to be where we are with the headset on, and sure grateful that enough people are enjoying it with us to make us feel like we're part of the effort and in their enjoyment of the games. And I just feel really good tonight.
I think this is a special team, and I think they've got a great month ahead of them. I really do. And they're fun to watch, and this was a great example of that. Never giving up, coming back in such a fantastic fashion to top off just an amazing week. Greg, we've been doing this a long time, brother. This is about as good a week as there has been. And this whole experience with this team in the Big 12 and going all these places, it's just kind of revitalized me. And I think it's revitalizing a lot of fans and the staff and the team. I mean, it's really exciting to be a part of. So just an epic week. Great to share it with you. And on top of these great wins, my sweetheart daughter here sitting next to me, Stratton, made the Bingham High golf team as a freshman this week. Mm. And she's a huge BYU fan, very loyal, and she can't come next week because she also plays volleyball. She's
also
amazing.
A volleyball
she's
star.
Going
that's
to
right.
Denver yeah. at a volleyball tournament. So I love my daughter Stratton. I'm proud of her, and I'm proud of this team that we saw. That was epic. That was an epic week, and one you and I know will remember a long, long time.
Could she be a better athlete than you?
I know it's hard to imagine. I mean, if anyone's old enough to remember me playing, I was pretty impressive as an athlete. But Stratton might just be better than me. She already beats me at golf, so maybe that's a moot point.
Well, always good to see Stratty here, and congrats to you, Stratton, on the golf deal. And continued success with the volleyball. And, Mark, you are not going to be with me in Ames, Iowa this week.
Well, I regret it now, but at the time...
There's still time to change your mind.
At the time, it seemed like a good idea, but it's been a long couple of weeks of travel for BYU, and I hope there's a long couple of weeks of travel coming up. So I'll sit out this one. You and Tyson, I'm sure, can handle it.
All right. Tyson Jex will join me on the headset on Wednesday from Ames, BYU, and Iowa State. The game's been given a later start time. It's gone to ESPN2. So we'll have a 6 o'clock Mountain Time pregame and a 7 o'clock tip, BYU and Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum on Wednesday evening. No Mark, so Tyson, BYU's basketball communications director, will be with me for that broadcast. And then Mark's back with me for senior night next Saturday
night,
with Oklahoma State.
Tournament, NCAA tournament.
Let's go.
I'm all in.
All right. Let's thank the crew back at BYU Radio, our control board operators, James Finlayson and Soraya Ritchie, Ethan Arkell, our editor, Terry South, our coordinating producer, Barry Squires, our engineer, Cleon Wall, our studio host, operational help from Clark Jackman and Sean O'Neill. And then courtside, we had the two communications directors for both teams, but special appreciation going out to Tyson Jacks of BYU setting up our Mark Pope pre- and post-game conversations, and also getting Trevin Nell to our post-game courtside location. Special thanks go out to Brian Estridge, BYU basketball, or rather TCU basketball play-by-play announcer, for joining us on the BYU pregame tonight. Brian's excellent and awesome and great to see him as always, and we'll see him in Kansas City for the conference tournament. So for all those folks, mentioned Tyson, and for my color commentary colleague, the one and only Mr. Mark Durant, my name is Greg Wrubell, thanking you for tuning in. Final score tonight in a massive comeback win, down 17 for the victory. BYU wins it 87-75 over the TCU Horned Frogs. So in the I also want to thank Kirsten Meredith from the BYU basketball communications staff, who helped out getting our TCU postgame coach interview as well. Can't forget Kirsten. Thank you, Kirsten. All right, so for all those folks, I am again Greg Wrubell saying, in the meantime and in between time, this has been BYU basketball on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Good night and so long from Provo, Utah.